Wait a minute. Episode 132, BulaNetwork.com. No, it's not going to be an episode about Three Dog Night, but it is going to be an episode about the number one. Hey kids, welcome back to the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. That also happens to be the name of the podcast. My name is Randy Cantrell, host, Grandmaster Flash, whatever else you want to call me. Today, I want to talk with you about the number one, and I'll tell you how it came into a conversation that I'll kind of replay for you and see if we can't learn a few things from it. We'll do that next. As I hit the record button, it is Thursday, the very last day of May, May 31st, 2012. Yeah, and we all say the same thing. All of us except for the kids among us, we all say, man, where is time going? It seemed like yesterday that we were ringing in the new year, and here we are. Summer's here. All right, here's how the conversation went. Fellas complaining about traffic. Well, no, not Dallas-Fort Worth traffic, which is, by the way, it's very worthwhile to complain about. I don't know about where you live, but here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we have got construction everywhere. And it's always been that way. I go pick somebody up at the airport, and they comment about the construction and this road. And I'm talking major highways. I'm not talking, you know, little side streets. I'm talking major interstates and big honking boulevards and, I mean, main arteries, that's the word I was looking for. These main arteries that feed in and out of the city and are so vital to all of us in getting around. And it's just one mess after another. In fact, just north of the airport is a community called Grapevine, Texas. Just forget it. I mean, unless you have a helicopter, it's just crazy insanity. But I'm not talking about that kind of traffic. I'm talking about the kind of traffic that we are all seeking online. And we've heard all the usual things. I've heard these things for a decade now, probably more than a decade now. Hello, it's 2012, Randy. All the different kinds of strategies and the things that we can do to drive traffic. And the fact is it's getting more difficult as time goes by because there are constantly new people coming into the internet, new websites, new Twitter accounts, new Facebook accounts, new LinkedIn accounts, new Google+ accounts, more and more and more. And that's great. That's great, but it does make it increasingly more difficult to be found. And there is the marketing rub. So I'm having this conversation, and it's the same kind of conversation that you can imagine is had by business people all over the world, probably every minute of every day. And that is about traffic and lamenting low traffic. And while the conversation could have gone any number of directions if a person was so technically bent, there are people out there, for instance, who eat, drink, and sleep search engine optimization, and they no doubt would have taken the conversation in that direction and immediately addressed, well, here's how to get the numbers up. And while I'm not going to poo-poo SEO, it just wasn't where I went because it's not how I'm wired and it's not my background. So the first place that I went is a place that I have gone before. And that was to try to encourage this person to consider the number. It's one thing to lament a low number, and the comment that I made that seemed to resonate with him was, if you were sitting in a room of 30 people, just 30 people, which by everyone's admission would be crazy low traffic. So you've got 30 people who regularly visit your website. Now that wasn't the number. It was a number I just picked out of thin air. So now let's put you in the physical world. And now you are one of 30 people. And the presenter comes in and the conversation goes something like this. Oh, well, there's only 30 of you. I was expecting a much larger group. Well, I'll go ahead and share with you guys a little bit of what I had planned on sharing. If you are one of the 30 people in the room, doesn't that just give you a warm, fuzzy feeling? And he said, well, no, I mean, you know, you'd probably be highly offended. And I said, yeah, rightfully so. And so if you've got, let's say, 30 people who come and visit your website, and that's your attitude, your behavior is, well, you know, there's only 30 of you. And yeah, if there were more of you, I would, you know, the content would be spectacular if there were, oh, I don't know, 3,000 of you, but there's only 30. So I'll give you a little something. You think that would be effective? Well, of course, very quickly. Well, no, of course not. I mean, he saw how ludicrous it was. And I said, let me tell you the most important number. I believe the most important. Now, this is all easy to say, and hang with me. I'll clarify some of this. I said, I want you to think about a number, because there is a number. And it's not going to be the number you think it is, but it's a really important number, and I'll explain why. The number is 1. No, not because it's the Three Dog Night song that I grew up listening to. Yeah, I'm like, I didn't date myself before. 1. You used to be able to go into a local shop. It might be a diner. It might be a breakfast joint. It'd be some small business in your town, in your community. And they would have their chamber of commerce thing. Maybe they'd have their Better Business Bureau membership or whatever. But somewhere you were really likely to see a dollar bill. And it would be behind glass. It'd be maybe framed. Maybe underneath a glass counter right by the cash register. That dollar, that $1, what's up with that? Now, you might be too young to remember these, but when I was growing up, and even after, when I was an adult, it was pretty common to see that in a small local business. No, you wouldn't see it in a big chain, but boy, you would see it in a local business. That $1 bill represented the first dollar that store made. The very first dollar that somebody paid them, it was pretty standard fare. We're going to take that dollar and we're going to kind of celebrate. We're going to hang on to that dollar. We're not going to spend that dollar. We're not going to deposit that dollar. We're framing that dollar. It's a dollar. Yeah, but it was their first dollar. I can't tell you how many people I've listened to and I've read and I've talked to personally. There's a really common thread among small business people, whether you're a solopreneur or whether you've got some operation that's much bigger. And they all talk with great fascination and great passion about their first revenue, their first dollar, the first sale. And what a cool feeling that was. And what a game changer that was for many of them. Maybe most, if not all of them. It was illustrative of, I can do this. This is cool. I've got a business. Now, granted, the landscape is littered with, I'm sure, little mom and pop shops that have that dollar bill hanging on the wall and they didn't make it. Well, let's don't think so much about that. Let's reminisce a little bit here about the good times and about the game changer of a mindset that we've made our first dollar. Here's what happens, and it happens to all of us. There's this psychological shift in that we feel validated, we feel encouraged because someone said yes. Someone with their own money gave us approval and said, what you do here matters enough to me that I'm going to pay you. Now, there's not a business person on the planet or a would-be business person on the planet who doesn't understand that feeling. And yet, it's a dollar. It's a single dollar bill. But it's not the monetary value. It's not that it's worth 100 pennies. It's the fact that it represents significance, validation, approval, a willingness to do business with us. In essence, they are saying what you do and what you're providing is of such value, I'm going to pay you. The amount really doesn't matter to us, not then. Not when we're just getting started. And so it's a crucial number. But behind that dollar bill is a person. And for your website, for your podcast, for your YouTube channel, for whatever it may be, we get all hung up and we're looking at a number and we're thinking, well, okay, well, we see all the big rock stars out there and they've got, you know, I mean, they've got hundreds of thousands of people. Yeah. So, I mean, you do realize that there was a time where nobody knew who they were. You do realize there was a time where they had to get their first dollar. They had to get their first listener. They had to get their first subscriber. They had to get their first customer. Would you really want to sit in that room with 29 other people and have somebody walk into that room and say, oh, this is all there is? No, you'd feel awful. And yet so many people in the online world, we are perfectly willing to make other people feel awful. We are perfectly willing to look at that group of 30, whatever the number might be. And we're willing to look at them and say, well, if there were more of you, we would be better. If there were more of you, we'd produce something that was really spectacular. But since there's only 30 of you, come on. I would love to tell you that I'm a guy who's figured it all out. I'd love to tell you I'm a guy, boy, I've got traffic running out my ears. I don't. I will be the first to tell you that. I mean, come on, all you got to do is go look at the YouTube channel and look at the views, and you're not going to find any video that I have currently that has anywhere near 100 views, which is nothing. But I don't look at it that way. Now, admittedly, maybe it's easier for me to look at it that way because I'm not out here trying to make a living doing what I'm doing. And that does cross my mind pretty frequently. And it especially crosses my mind when I have conversations with people, and I can be a classic case of a guy that there's a lot of things that I know, but I don't do because I don't care. Boy, that sounds terrible. I don't quite mean it like that, but if I were setting out to make my living online, there's little doubt that I would do some things very differently. None of the least of which would be, okay, pick a niche, narrow down and, you know, and fish it narrow and deep. Okay. I don't do that. Implement just some basic things with SEO. I don't do that. The few things that I do well, or at least attempt to, is there's pretty consistent flow of content. Now you can judge how remarkable or how great or how killer it is. And now I've lamented, long and hard about how everybody talks about content being king and you got to produce great content, great content, great content. The fact of the matter is, in practical terms, most content is not great. There are a lot of things that you come across on a daily basis and the content is far less than great. Now, it might have great copy. It might have a great headline. See, I'm such a contrarian. And I get it now. I fully understand the psychology of a great headline and catchiness and a hook. And I understand all that stuff. This isn't my first rodeo. I just don't particularly care for it. It just, you know, great headline writing. And this is stupid on my part. I freely admit that. It's absolutely stupid on my part because it's like, okay, buck the system all you want. It is the system. The system is we need to get people's attention. How are you going to get people's attention? You got to get people's attention with some magnetic headline, with some kind of a hook. And the way that you do that is it's all the art of the tease. And I am fully cognizant of the tease. But have you ever clicked on a link, the headline or the tagline captured you, you clicked on the link and you go over there and it's like, it was so catchy that, yeah, it's a little bit of bait and switch. Yeah, sure. You've done that. We've all done that. Hey, here's the reality. The reality is that the internet world is by and large a bait and switch operation. And the faster you embrace that, the more successful you'll be. The fact that I'm so slow to embrace that is why I'm not terribly successful. But again, my motive here is very different. It's just very different. I'm not sitting here holding myself forth as some online entrepreneur showing you how you too can be an online entrepreneur. There are many things that I know and I understand, and it sounds like I don't know what it sounds like. It sounds rather crazy, frankly, but I don't do them. And the reason I don't do them is because I don't have to do them. I earn my living in the offline world. And I'm not currently just so terribly motivated, to take everything or even frankly, any kind of a portion of what I do into the online world. For starters, I'm doing this 4-part series and I'm up to the fourth part of this video series on entrepreneurship and these questions. And these are questions that they're old, they're ancient questions, but they're questions that we all need to ask, including myself. And I'm up to number 3, which is what is your biggest frustration? Because oftentimes some of our best business ideas are born from the answer to that question. But the other questions were, what do you care most about? 2, what do you want to be known for most? And 3, what's your biggest frustration? I'm perfectly capable of asking the questions. Doesn't mean that I got the answers for myself, much less for you. And these are all terribly personal, and you have to answer them for yourself. And it's hard. Who's kidding who? It's just hard. And when it comes to this online stuff and what do we want to do as far as an online income, I don't profess to have wrestled all of that to the ground. So I'm just being candid and frank. Don't call me Frank. The number one, your first dollar, your first customer, your first subscriber to your email list, your first podcast subscriber, your first subscriber to your YouTube channel. Those, in my opinion, are very critical numbers because behind them is a person. And I think if, as marketers, as business people, if we can get our head wrapped around the people, I think we're going to be way ahead of the game. If and when the time comes that I decide to really to make this a business. Now, Bula Network is a business, but what you know about it, it's not a business. It's a website. It's a blog. It's a podcast. And that's all it is. Well, I say that's all it is. I mean, yes, I'm hoping to be some source of encouragement. I'm hoping that maybe there's some inspiration that can be had. I'm hoping to pass some things on. I'm so in a different demographic than the majority of voices online, and I know that. The majority of online voices are very, very much younger than I am, and I know that. Well, hey, let's just shoot from the hip, shall we? What do you care most about? And when we're looking at this whole entrepreneurial thing and we're thinking about numbers and everybody gets caught up in how many Twitter followers have I got? How many people have liked my Facebook page and how many subscribers do I have? And I need a crowd. I need a crowd. I need a crowd. I need a crowd. And oh, by the way, oh, well, it's just you guys. I thought there would be so many more of you. And in thinking about all of that, I know of a group out there that I believe I could help, and that's guys like me. Guys like me who may have been knocked down and dragged out, and maybe guys who are not yet at the end of their career, and maybe they thought that, hey, you know, the job is a good job and they're going to have it for a long time. And a lot of men who are in my demographic who were in their peak income earning years, guess what? 2007 hit, 2008 hit, and their world got rocked. Absolutely, totally rocked. Do I have some kind of a message that might help those guys? Is there some solution? Is there some big frustration there that I might could solve? Yes. See, I love ideas, and there's a lot of ideas, but you and I both know that an idea is just an idea, and if nobody acts on it, well, okay, what good is it? So I got lots of ideas, and you've got lots of ideas. The difference is, do we want to pursue those ideas? I mean, I have abandoned more ideas, and you probably have too. I mean, who among us hasn't? We've abandoned more ideas than we've chased because we really got down to the point where we just decided, I don't want to do that. Oh, but you're good at it. Oh, but you've got experience at it. Oh, but you know the people in the industry. Doesn't matter. If you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. Now, I guess there are people who can just go chase a dollar to chase a dollar. And who among us hasn't done that? I mean, you got to feed a family and you got to do what you got to do. But if left to our own devices and if we have the ability to choose, yes, we're going to choose to do what we want, but we want to do it in front of the biggest crowd possible. Why? Well, now we're getting somewhere. Why isn't the number one so important to some people? Well, I know some people who, quite frankly, the ego is so significant, a small group is just beneath them. Yeah, they need a big stage, big crowd. The problem is, it's a little bit like me being 55. I do not yet know how a person can get to be 55 without being 50 first. And I don't know how a person can get to be 50 without first being 40. And I don't know how you can get to be 40 without being 30. So I don't know how you can amass a big crowd without first having a small crowd. And I don't know how you can have a small crowd without starting with one. Now, the minute somebody can figure that out, where we can just kind of leapfrog over one and five and 10 and 30 and 300, and we could just start right out of the gate with, say, 3,000. When you got that figured out, email me, because I'm on board. I'm completely on board. You and I both know the real point here. And the real point is, the numbers are, listen, if you're Michael Hyatt, if you're a Brian Clark, if you're a Chris Brogan, if you're any number of these, stellar online personalities who've got well over 100,000 people daily paying attention to everything they do, are there things that you could do to at least improve your chances of making that happen? Sure. But my conversation about one really got down to, with this particular person, and there were a few names that got mentioned, people in his space who have, bigger followings. And I seem to always ask this question, because frankly, it's a question that I even ask of myself whenever I have those moments. And don't we all, we have those moments where we sit back in our chair and we stare up at the ceiling and we think, man, wouldn't it be great if? Well, my comment to him was, there are a lot of people who want to be somebody or be something. It may be that you look at a Chris Brogan and you think, I'd like to be like Chris Brogan. Okay. Do you want to do what Chris Brogan does every day? And of course, a lot of people don't have a clue, and I'm not saying I have a clue what he does every day, but I got a fair idea. We look at people and we may admire people, understandably, and we see the following that they have, and we'd like that following. We'd like to have that mass of people following us and hanging on our every word. You do have to do something in order to accomplish that. It's one thing to say, I want to be like, and I'm just using Chris Brogan as an example, fill in the blank with your favorite poopah. So I want to be like Chris Brogan, but it's a whole different thing to say, well, no, I don't, more people that I know who say that they would like to be like a Chris Brogan, they don't want to trade places. They don't want to do what he may do every day. No, we just want his notoriety. We just want his fame. Because you know what they see. They go to some big event, they go to a blog world, or they go to some big social media, grand parade, and they see people fall all over this person. That's what they want. They want that celebrity. They want that fame. They want that. Well, they want the paycheck that they assume may go with that. But as with everything in life, there is a price to be paid. Now, I'm not saying that a guy like Chris Brogan doesn't deserve to be there. That really is beside the point. So he deserves to be there. But I'm telling you that he paid a price to get there. Question, are you willing to pay that price? B, he continues to pay a price to remain there. Question, is that a price that you want to continue to pay as well? It's funny, public speaking is something that comes up fairly frequently in conversations that I have with business people. And I do not put myself out there as a public speaker. And I'll tell you why. It's not a life I want. It's just not a life I want. I'm a homebody. I know people who are in the public speaking world, and I know what that life is like. And while we may think, man, wouldn't it be great to get up, and you get up in front of hundreds of people, sometimes thousands of people, maybe tens of thousands of people. And wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Man, we could sell all these books, and we could sell videos, and we could sell all kinds of stuff. Wouldn't that be great? Yes, it would be great. It would be great if that's the life you want. But what if that's not the life you want? Then it would be awful. It would be terrible. For a guy like me, if I had to get on a plane and fly to some place and stay, and then catch another plane to some other place and catch another plane to another place and be gone from home, oh, I don't know, pick a number, a couple hundred days a year, I can't think of too many things that would be as bad. It would just be a terrible quality of life for me, but there are people who love it and who thrive on it, and it's perfect for them. And so when we think about the number, especially when we think about comparing ourselves to, you know, the big names that we all know and love and trust and like and yada, yada, think about not just being that person, but paying the price to be that person. That is doing what they do. And for most of us, that completely changes the whole equation once we really get our head wrapped around it. And you've got to understand that you can't get to 2 without first getting to 1, and you can't get to 5 without going through 2, 3, and 4. And these are things that need to build over time. Now, here's what I believe to be true, and I'll wind it down on a few fundamental key things that I believe to be true. You may disagree with these. I believe that consistency accomplishes at least 2 things. That is, if we will consistently do whatever it is we do. Whether we are a singer-songwriter, whether we are an artist, whether we are a podcaster, continuing to do it day after day after day after day accomplishes a few things. One, hopefully, not always, it's not a guarantee, but hopefully we get better. And hopefully as we get better, we gain a little more attention. The singer-songwriter who may be starting out and who may play to an audience of 5, 3 of whom are drunk, keeps on and keeps on and keeps on and keeps on, and maybe gains a bigger crowd. So, getting better is hopefully a product of continuing it. Gaining a little larger crowd over time is a component of it. But I think there's a third one, and that is, we'll call it discovery. The more you do it, the more you do it, the more you continue to do it, the greater the odds are somebody somewhere who might be noteworthy, who might be able to tip the scales in your favor, might find you, might land upon you. I stumble upon people. Do you do this? You're looking at a website, maybe a Google search, and one thing leads to another thing. Sure, we've all had that happen. And on some rare occasions, you stumble across somebody that is just seemingly remarkable, and you think, you know, why have I never heard of this person before? Now, if you're like me, you hope that you're one of those people. You hope that if somebody stumbles across you or your podcast or your videos or your website or whatever, that they think, man, where's this guy been? Why haven't I heard of this guy? I should have heard of this guy. Well, listen, we're in grand company because there's a ton of us out here who are completely anonymous, except for we've got a few people. And whether you've got 3 or 30, it doesn't matter. These are people. These are people who are giving you time and attention. You, right now, with your earbuds in your ear, wherever you are listening to my voice, you matter. You matter to me. And I got news for you. When you look in the mirror, you don't look in the mirror and go, "Nah, this guy doesn't matter. She doesn't matter." No, you think you matter. And you know what? You're right. You do matter. Now, do you matter to me because of the dollar? No, because I got nothing to sell you. But I'm asking you for something far more valuable than a dollar. I'm asking you for some time and attention. And that's crazy expensive. I know that. I am mindful of that, and I'm thankful for that. Now, I'm like you. Am I hopeful that you listening might spark somebody else to listen, that you might tell somebody else? Absolutely. But you might not. But if I'm not putting myself out here and if I'm not doing this, then I know I don't have any hope of getting better. You don't get better unless you practice. You don't get better unless you do it. And just because you do it doesn't mean you will get better. But if you don't do it, you absolutely aren't going to get better. So there's that. And I'm also hopeful that in getting better and in producing more, continuing to stay out here, continuing to keep my feet in the water, somebody, you, your friends, might find me. But for me, the real objective is the hope that whatever it is that I have to say might resonate. It might ring true for you. It's not going to ring true for everybody. I'm not trying to ring true for everybody. But if it rings true for you, that's just kind of a cool thing for me. But it does start with one. And I don't know any way to get around that. One person, $1, one sale, one customer, one transaction. You can't start a blog unless you write your first post. You can't start a podcast unless you record your first one. You can't really launch a YouTube channel until you post your first video. I mean, it's just so remarkably crazy common sense, but we don't like to think about it because it is a lonely number. It's such a small number. But if that one represents you, yeah, you with the earbuds in your ear right now listening to me, if that number one represents you, I think you would argue with me tooth and toenail. I matter. You better believe I matter. You better believe my time and my attention matter and my money matters and what I'm interested in, my pain, my passion, my frustrations, my job, my situation, my income, my expenses. Don't tell me they don't matter. This is me we're talking about. I do think that the internet age, as spectacular and as great as it is, there is an enormous risk, temptation for people to lose themselves in kind of clumping everybody together. I mean, come on, you can go to your favorite blogger. I mean, if you go over there, I don't know what the number is today at Michael Hyatt's, but if you go over there, I mean, you're going to see a really strong six-figure number. So are we to assume that, let's say that we could get all of Michael Hyatt's people in a stadium. I don't know that there's a stadium large enough, but let's say that there were. All of those people that we could just kind of clump them all together. Well, okay, we could clump them all together and say, well, they're all subscribers of his, but boy, they're all over the board. I mean, they're all very different. They are all people. I do understand from a marketing and business perspective, and I think you do too, that we have to kind of look at this thing and we do have to kind of pick out our ideal and our target market. I'm not getting away from that, but even in that, we're defining who these people are so that we can go and try to find those people. And I would encourage you to do that. But keep in mind, they have names, they have places where they live, they have cars that they drive, they have wives, husbands, boyfriends, girlfriends, they have kids. Some of us have grandkids. Cart before the horse and all that kind of stuff, you know. One. The power of one. Hey, thank you for being one. I do appreciate it. I hope you'll plug in your email address in the upper right-hand corner. New things coming, by the way. Not only are you going to get one email a week, it'll kind of recap the stuff going on here, but at least monthly, I'm going to start releasing only to the subscribers, behind-the-scenes kind of stuff. I do peel the curtains back pretty clearly already, but I'm going to do it even more so for those people that are members of the list, so please join. Hey, thanks for giving me your time and attention. My name is Randy Cantrell. The city of origin is Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. This is the Yellow Studio.